Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Profiles in Christian Character 2 in Colossians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. This is part 2 of 2.
Hitler and Stalin could have killed each other, but that's not how it went down. Anyway, that's just crazy. And the last thing is, look at verses 10 and 11 in the chapter we're in, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. We read, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justice, look at this, who are of the circumcision. So, what these guys do is they say, well, since Luke isn't mentioned until verse 14, and he wasn't included with the list in verses 10 and 11, which are of the circumcision. Therefore, Paul was basically saying Luke was not one of the Jews. But again, that's not what it says. And I believe he mentions Luke later because Luke played a different role than Aristarchus, Marcus, and Justus. That's it. And so that's basically the heavy evidence for Luke being a Gentile, and I believe it's baseless. I don't believe there's any real base for that claim. So what question should we ask? Say that with me. But what does the Bible say? It just reminded me, who was it used to tell the jokes? And they say stuff like, he was so tall. And then the crowd would say, how tall was he? That's how Christians should respond when they hear people make claims. And I tell Stephen and John this. I tell other people who ever teach that I encourage everyone out there to be Bereans. Amen. To search the Scripture to see if what's being taught is so. So if I have to be careful, and thank God, I'm glad it happens. If I make an argument and I don't clarify that it's my opinion, then the question is, okay, now, where's that found in the Bible? And that's how a Christian should always... But what does the Bible say? Well, let's turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3. Verse 1 begins saying, and what advantage, then, hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Read verse 2 with me. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, this verse says that if a book or a letter is the oracle of God, which is a Bible book, amen, it comes from the Jews.
Amen.
Read it, look at it again. What advantage then hath the Jew? Verse 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Not to Gentiles, even Gentile believers.
Yeah, right.
Some people say, well, he's not the only one. Nebuchadnezzar wrote part of Daniel. That's not true. Daniel included a letter written by Nebuchadnezzar in his book and provided it verbatim. That's true. But that doesn't mean Nebuchadnezzar wrote Daniel. And even that letter, I believe it's true, that letter God provided, it's the word of Nebuchadnezzar. The letter itself isn't the word of God. The letter itself is the word of Nebuchadnezzar.
It's a quotation.
It's just like, you realize there's quotes from Satan in this book. Do you know that? Do you know those quotes are not the word of God? They're the word of Satan. But what we believe is that they're given to us infallibly and accurately.
Amen.
That's what we... And so the letter from Nebuchadnezzar, I believe that it was given exactly the way Nebuchadnezzar wrote it. And it's an accurate quotation of that entire letter. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't write part of the Bible. He wrote a letter that was included in the Bible, not as a separate letter like this letter to the believers in Colossians. So... Jews wrote the Bible.
Amen.
And by the way, all the other books, there's evidence to prove that statement. And with Luke, the thing is, we know the Bible says that, so in order to prove that Luke was a Gentile, you've got to prove that. We don't have to prove he was a Jew. You've got to prove he wasn't. And the proof's not there, as we already showed that Luke was a Jew. Now, here's just some internal evidence. This is the kind of thing you can pick up on your own as you're reading through the Bible. Acts 21. I'll tell you one thing. Most everything I've learned has come from other people, and thank God for them. I don't understand why some people think it's not learning unless you are the original discoverer of it. But one time I was reading through Acts, and I realized in Acts 16, it looked like Luke was now talking about himself being part of the crew. Yeah. Instead of saying, they did this and they did that, he starts saying, we. Yeah. But I thought, well, I've never heard that pointed out, so, you know, I'm real timid about that kind of thing, you know. If it's new, that'd be wild for Greg Miller to discover something new from the Bible after almost 2,000 years. I'm not saying it can't happen. But I was actually very thankful when later I read somebody else pointing that out, and I confirmed that what I was seeing was accurate. See?
Amen.
Well, the same thing here in Acts 21, beginning of verse 26, we have an account of when the Jews threw a fit because they said Paul had been bringing Gentiles into the temple. Luke is with him. Okay? Verse 26 says, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. So he's doing it by the book. Mosaic law. He's obeying Moses here. Verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which are of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. They grabbed a hold of Paul, arrested him. Verse 28, These Jews crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place. And look at this. And further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Well, look who it is. Verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. They didn't mention Luke.
Amen.
They didn't have a problem with Luke going to the temple.
Nope.
It was Trophimus.
Yep.
So there is at least evidence to suggest. It is implied, but it is very strongly implied, that Luke must have been a Jew, and people knew that, and that's why they didn't mention his name when they accused Paul of bringing Gentiles into the temple. They mentioned Trophimus. Now, sit back just for a second and realize that's some good Bible study right there.
Amen.
Amen. And if you will get in the habit of reading the Bible like that and being careful, you're going to find yourself, and I'm proud to say this, I'm not proud of me, I'm proud of you, to say that you would be addicted.
Amen.
Get addicted to this book.
Amen.
Just do me a favor. Don't become a pain about it. Don't come in here every week announcing how smart you are.
Yeah.
It's between you and the Lord. But what you do want to do is have your ear peeled, because there's times where you're going to hear somebody say something, you're going to think, now, I can share some information with them. And if you're humble about it, say, hey, you know, I was studying this not too long ago, and this is what I found. And then that's a test for us. Can we be humble enough to be teachable? Can we be humble enough to say, oh, really? Now, again, don't just take it. You got to ask for the chapter and verse. Look it up. Read it together. That's what happened a few weeks ago with a fellow that was coming here for a while. He'd come up here questioning, and when I showed him the Scripture and showed him the Scripture, and he wouldn't believe it, wouldn't accept it, and then he became inflamed and accusatory, etc., and goodbye. But we don't ever get mad or upset with people asking questions, and we don't even really get mad or upset when they have trouble believing what they read. We pray for them. But then if you cross the line and start getting accusatory and discordant about it, hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Unless you repent, we'll take you back if you repent. Amen?
Amen.
So there was no protest over Luke going into the temple. Plant that right there. And then you'll remember it next time you need to. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. How many of you knew that? Did you know that? He wrote two books, Luke and Acts of the Apostles. He addresses both of them to who? Come on. Theophilus. Remember?
Amen.
Oh, Theophilus. Both of them. Okay? That's just a little... See, that's the kind of thing you just got to start picking this stuff up and planting them back here. Now, if you've got a memory like mine, my memory is about as long as my nose. But that's why I highlight and I make notes, you know, because I know my memory can't be trusted. God's Word can be trusted. Greg's memory cannot. Amen? And I'm not embarrassed at all, and you shouldn't be either. If you can't remember something, you see me do it, but I always turn to Jenny because she's got her little phone out and she can look it up real quick. The point isn't how smart you are. The point is, what does God say? And if I can't remember it and you can help me recall it, praise God. Amen? That's what it's all about. So Luke was Paul's faithful friend in ministry from 53 A.D. until Paul's death, 68 to 69 A.D. I'm here to tell you, I don't know how long I'll be here. I don't know how long you are going to be here. But unless you turn into a heretic and start denying the King James Bible, preaching a false gospel, or going against Israel, something major, I can't even say or. Until you either turn into a heretic or die. I am here to tell you, I want to be your friend.
Amen.
And I hope that that's your attitude toward me. And if everybody's attitude was that way toward each other, and pastors to people in the pew to the pastors and teachers, imagine how few church splits there would be.
Amen.
Splitting over the fact that we got red carpet and Johnny wanted purple. Actually, I agree with you because I like purple better than red. But see? So we're already going to have a church split. But you know why we don't split over that stuff? Because it's not important. The important things are the important things. Amen? And unless you cross the line on something that's really important, we can differ. I mean, I don't know if we have any, but I wouldn't even care if somebody in here rooted for the Michigan Wolverines. I would still fellowship with you. There'd be one Saturday, I wouldn't want you within a mile. Because you might win, and then I'd have to see you dancing. But it's been a long time coming. Amen? What year?
2000.
Has it really been 19? So when were the two?
Michigan's only, we were 16.
Those were both before 2000?
We've been 16-2 against Michigan since 2000.
Okay, but there have been two.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
I
think it was called Dominus.
Yes, amen. Oh, I could talk about that all day, but we better get back to the Bible. But we're going to stop here on Luke because there's much more about Luke, but we're going to cover him. We're going to get into the Gospel of Luke, and we'll cover Luke more in more detail then. We're going to go to Luke and Acts. But for now, I want to jump to the second guy over in Colossians 4. Won't take quite as much time on him, but something very important that I want to point out about him. Less is known about Demas, but what's some, quote, I'm going to put in quotes, no, is baseless. And that's what I want to tackle. The reality check. Most teach that Demas was apostate. How many of you heard that?
Yeah.
I've seen sermons where they talk about the apostasy of Demas. And I'm sorry, but that was a lie.
Amen.
Again, check your Bible and see if Demas committed apostasy. The Bible never says such a thing. Just don't ever take for granted. You know, what apostasy means is that he turned away from God and went completely off in rebellion and unbelief. That's apostasy. He's mentioned here, verse 14. He's mentioned in Philemon, verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and there's Luke again, my fellow laborers. Now, this Philemon, or this Colossians mention was supposed to be around 64 A.D. A couple years later is when Philemon comes out and he's mentioned there. But then there's a third time he's mentioned in 2 Timothy, and that's around 68 A.D., which is about the time Paul dies. And I want to look at that. Go to 2 Timothy. Let your fingers do the walking. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Now again, this is an important thing. Verse 10, and it starts right off with the gist of our discussion on these verses. If you're there, verse 10, read it with me. For Demas hath forsaken me. Now there's got to be more than three of you there. I'll give you a second to get there. If not, it's important. I want you to read it. Everybody there? Hold on. I'm not in a hurry. How many of you are in a hurry? And yeah, no one wants to admit being black backslidden. That's right. Alright. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Read it with me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And it continues, and guess who shows up? Next verse. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Now, he had a falling out with Mark in Acts, with Uncle Barnabas. Mark's uncle Barnabas stuck up for Mark, and then, but here we see Mark's back with Paul. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
You want to preach a sermon on God is a God of second chances. Amen. There you go. Verse 12, and Tychicus, there he is. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. All right. So they're the same group, same crew, really. But look back at verse 10 again. Notice, they claim that this is, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and preachers have preached, that means he is an apostasy. But if that's true, then so is Crescens and Titus. We have a letter written to Titus, and Paul didn't mention anything about it. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, comma, and is departed unto Thessalonica, colon. Not a period. Crescens departed. He left Paul. He forsook Paul and went to Galatia. Titus forsook Paul and went to Dalmatia. So does that mean all these guys are apostate? I didn't say what you're rooting for. I said it is. You know, what's the reality? Paul was not happy about this thing, but the issue was personal. It wasn't spiritual. Look at the words. God's word does not say Demas is apostate.
Amen.
And yet, sermon after sermon, commentary after commentary will tell you that. Now do you see why you should be Bereans and test everything being taught by the book? And sometimes it's not a matter of going here or there. Sometimes they'll read the passage right out loud and miss the point. And you'll be sitting there thinking, whoa, wait a minute. What in the world? You know what? They're human. It doesn't mean those men are false teachers. But it's funny how I've actually talked to a couple of guys who preach that stuff. And man, they stuck to their guns. I said, let me read it out loud. For Demas hath forsaken me. That's Paul. How many of you are saved by the blood of the Apostle Paul? How many of you have believed on the name of Paul for salvation? And it didn't say Demas forsook Paul's writings, which is the Word of God. It just says Demas forsook Paul. Now, we all have issues with friends. Amen? Two of you are honest. Amen? Amen. And Jenny always says, just because I don't say amen doesn't mean I don't agree. But, you know, she's so quiet. But, for example, here this Saturday, we all have the friend who's going to remind us what Saturday is. That wasn't me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're that friend. Just because that's the kind of person. May the 4th be with you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I didn't make it. I'm just using it. But you get my point. We all have those friends who are a little different than us. That would be everybody. Amen? Now, we have this discussion every once in a while. They have talked about all of you. You know, you all have friends or family who are a little out there on things. Or, you know, well, I think if you think long and hard, you'll see we all are. It's just that our thing is normal. Your thing is not. I mean, it's like I got family, women in my family, and you see Charlie's got his nice long, you know, big beard. And I let my beard grow out, and so I had that long beard thing going on. And I'd have these women come up and say things to me about my beard, and I'd be looking at their hair, and it took every fiber in my being not to make a comment about their hairdo. I mean, you're talking this long beard weird. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I mean, I'm not naming names, but I'm just saying. Some of the people can't see their crazy weird look, but they can see yours. I mean, I've looked in the mirror lately. I know what my face looks like. So I don't make a. If I crack jokes about your face, it's just to be funny. But we all know, you know. I know. My mom would tell you, one of the first songs she ever sang to me, "Funny Face, I Love You." That's this big, you know. I've known ever since then, I have a funny face. So the question is one of context. The context in 2 Timothy 4:10 says Demas, Crescens, and Titus forsook Paul, not Jesus. It's not there. It does not say he forsook, or any of the three forsook, Jesus. And so think of, if you're not aware of this, keep your eye out for it, and you'll think of all the sermons, all the commentaries in the commentary books that need to be edited and revised. Amen. And brought into conformity. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I found this. This is just, I had to show you this. Use that scripture out of context one more time. So when it says loving this present world, is it saying loving the world's lust and greed and evil deeds? It doesn't say that, does it? Is it there? It's not there. Now, there is this, James 4:4, the context is, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, how many of you are adulterers or adulteresses? Are you committing adultery right now? How about spiritually? Are you involved in idol worship or involved in false worship and ecumenical movement, that kind of stuff? No? Well, but here's a warning. If you're ever tempted to do that, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But does that apply to Demas? No, not in the context. It doesn't say he was committing spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery. It just says that he left Paul. And it says, having loved this present world, well, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Because then there's also this. Loving this present world, it could be loving the world so much that you would give your only begotten son to die for it. For God what?
So loved
the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, is God an apostate? He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the world, this present world. Does that make God an apostate? No, obviously not. So it appears that Demas, Crescens, and Titus simply decided to stop traveling with Paul. And they went home to their families. That is an assumption, but they went somewhere, so I'm assuming it was probably with their families. Yes.
16 says, verse 16b says, but all men forsook me.
Amen. Look at that. Look at, if you're in 2 Timothy 4, look down at verse 16 that he just quoted. And I'll read it so it goes on. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Apostasy! No, it's not apostasy. They forsook Paul. Now, I just warn you, don't get all cocky about this like these preachers do, because I believe the reason they forsook him is because they knew Paul, and I'm not saying he was suicidal, but Paul seemed to be bent on dying. Now, God, if you believe God has called you to go get blown, your head blown off or something, power to you. Don't ask me to go along because He hasn't told me that yet.
Amen.
Amen. I've had a couple of close calls, but I'll tell you this, I didn't go in knowingly. Brother Garland and I down at South End had some guy pull a knife, and thankfully he was pulling on another guy, and we just, you know, walked right past him like, oh, we don't see nothing. And he looked at us like this, and I thought, when things like that happen, it goes through your mind like a million thoughts of it, and I'm thinking, we're either dead or we're getting out of here. Because he had a devil look on his face. Somehow, you know, he just turned and looked at us and let us go. And I don't know what happened. We called the police. That was before cell phones. We had to stop. You know, I don't even know if 911 was in existence at that time. I can't remember. But we called the police. I also had a crackhead come in while I was working at a grocery store. Pull a gun on me. And I was a bad employee. I was working so hard, and I'm not, I know this sounds like I'm bragging, I'm not. I was working so hard to try to get things done. I didn't make the drop. So instead of him getting a couple $100, he got about $1,000. One walk. Why didn't he blow me away? Because you know they do that. And I saw his face. I mean, I saw, he had a hood on, but I saw from here to here. Those are the kind of people that kill you because you saw their face. He didn't blow me away. I didn't know that was going to happen or I would have caught off work that day. Because God didn't say, Greg, because He's never actually talked to me like that. And you know what? He better show me some signs or I'm not believing that voice. So when I say that, it appears that they decided to stop traveling with Paul, went home to their families just like all of us. See, what I'm saying is Demas is just like us. I don't know anybody in this room who gave up your job, your family, everyone you knew, and went to another country to preach the gospel, and then went to another country, and another country, and another country, and another country. And there are missionaries who do that. And they'll either decide it's not for them, or God will show them it's not for you, or your time's up, whatever the case may be. And when they come back home, a lot of people will badmouth those people. And I've only had a couple opportunities to say this, but I'll say it every time I have an opportunity. I'll just say, well, at least they went.